All right. Hey, this is a late start, but thank God for Doug and his dear brother that help us in this incredible day, incredible time to make an incredible show. Today is November 10, 2014. It's 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It's 1 p.m. in the East Coast and 8 p.m. in the Middle East. We are today on The Impossible Truth. This is Orly Benny Davis, and I'm really honored and humbled to talk to you today. It's on this time that events are happening, stories, and a lot of things are playing a major role in the world history. Well, and we have to think our strategy again. We have to think about what we're going to have to do to make a real mess out of it. Before we start, we want to ask something very simple. If anybody heard about what's happening today in Israel, can realize that the terror is rising up and we are on the verge of little riots, intifada, they call it, which is an uproar of the civilian, the Arab civilians, and all the infiltrated of the Jewish state. Wonderful. And we have to rethink what we want to do in the next few months to change the events. But before that, we have to ask who is with us, who is playing in the right side of the game. Because, you know, being on the sideline, not getting into the fire, it won't help. This time, it's truth. America, with all its might, needs to stand up for Israel, and I didn't hear anybody stating anything about today's event on the last month's event. And we have to understand that, you know, if the European Union is going to pursue the pressure to Israel to make an accord with a terrorist organization, we'll be out of line. And Sweden, again, completely the Scandinavian, maybe you're out of the loop, but you are in the story. So make sure that whoever plays right. And today we have the honor and the privilege and the utmost respect to honor one of my dearest friends that all due condition and status, her infinite devotion to world peace and world harmony and love among mankind is exemplary. And I want to welcome Ellen to the show. Ellen, welcome to my show, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you, Orly. You're always so kind. I wanted to point out I'm speaking to you from Princeton, New Jersey, which, if you have to draw a line, is sitting like off the page on the left side. So it is a university town that has an absolutely amazing Middle Eastern, in fact, one of the premier Middle Eastern studies programs in the country. And yet we see a big, big influx. Are you still there?
Okay. All right. I'm so sorry. We have a little glitches today. I guess that when you're doing the right thing, all the power again starts. You know the routine. It's always, and you know, they tell me always, when you have resistance, it means that you're doing the right thing. So I'm honored to be on the right side of the track always. And when they come and they resist me, it's not a problem. Now, listen, Ellen, I know that you live in this atmosphere of great, you know, between the woods and relaxation, but the question is, do you feel, is the news showing what's happening in Israel? Do we have any comments?
That's exactly what I was trying to point out. These people should be connected, and in fact, they're connected, okay. They're connected on the wrong end from my perspective as I speak to you with immense love you know, for Israel and a dedication to both the Jewish people and Jewish life. So even today's headlines, I don't know if everybody gets the New York Times listening, because we're going from both coasts to, you know, I don't know how far up or and down, but the New York Times writes a headline that says, "Israeli woman is dead. A soldier is stabbed." Did she die out of, like, you know, did she just fall down and die? So we're not even, the New York Times is not providing what I would perceive as an even kind of a report on.
Well, actually, it's not an accurate report.
Because this woman was murdered. I mean, we're talking about a soldier is murdered. She's not just stabbed. She's murdered. And she's murdered because she's an Israeli and because she's Jewish and because she's a soldier at the middle of Tel Aviv, which is tends to be, you know, Tel Aviv was founded in 1909 as the first Jewish city to be founded since we were exiled. So,
well, I have to correct you. Today, they wounded a soldier, a male soldier. And the girl that died in Gush Etzion. She's 26 years old that got stabbed by, you know, a drive-through terrorist.
Okay, so I have a little bit of a mix-up here. I'm very sorry.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. It's just with the events that are evolving so fast, who can keep track of their you know, terror attack? We usually are too overwhelmed from the news, so we don't need to worry about the point. The point is that Israel is being attacked. There is an uproar of the Arab civilization because they are rioting in every place possible, especially on the holy sites and in Jerusalem, which many tourists come to visit. So we have,
for many, many years, Jews could not go to the wall. The little bit that was left after 2,000 years of attempts to destroy us and the rest of the world failed. The Arabs are today, you know, the television, the radio is encouraging Arabs to riot. Now, if you want to make peace, and you want a piece of property that, quite frankly, from my perspective, doesn't actually belong to you. The infrastructure didn't even exist before the Israelis came in to help. That if you want something from someone, you don't try and kill your way through it. You prove that you're capable of living together. And to me, with a child right at this minute in lockdown in Ephrata, which is a suburb of Jerusalem, because somebody was murdered in Elon Shevut, which is in Gush Etzion, just outside of Jerusalem, I cannot get my head around the fact that we would even, you know, as I say, I'm an American, but just as the Jewish people, that we should even allow the Arabs to be in a place that endangers the rest of the population.
Listen. Now we have to talk about the issue from not an emotional way, because me and you are mothers and we concern about the children and the safeguards of many. But let's talk about it in a different perspective. The truth, the reality of of life, the global life now, that the Arabs are planning to have a caliphate. They want to take over the West world, the Western world. And what happened is Jerusalem is actually the verge. It's the heroine of between Muslims and Jewish and Christianity. And this is the line in the sand they cannot cross, and now they're trying to push it over because they know that once Jerusalem will be, no, Jerusalem can never be again under their sovereignty. They would think that if they have Jerusalem, they could push Israel away. That's why they destroy every evidence of the temple on Temple Mount to show the world that the actual Bible is not a factual thing, which it will be ludicrous because there are billions of people who believe in that. So, and there are facts on the ground and there are archaeological artifacts to show for. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and the world is hesitating. The world is hesitating by placing their embassy there, recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and letting the Arab, even the Muslim, even the thought that the Palestinian capital will be Jerusalem. I want to see who in his right mind will give the holy place of the whole world, Jerusalem, the heart of the world, to give it to terrorist organization. I just can't fathom that.
Right. I have to tell you, for example, in today's Wall Street Journal, which is an incredibly respectable paper, and generally, if I had to pick an American paper that was at least further to the right in terms of how it responds to what's going on in Israel, claimed that the current argument is over Jewish prayer rites at the holy site, which are currently banned but advocated by a fringe group of Jewish activists. I have a problem, you know, and I think Jews in general have a problem when they think that the holiest place in the world is only being supported by a fringe group of advocates. And let me
interrupt you for a minute. That perception that the world see is right. It's correct. Because the jury, world jury, never took the trouble or the effort to do something about it. The last time that we even put Jerusalem on the agenda was 1994, where AIPAC passed a law with President Clinton then, and God bless his soul, Prime Minister Rabin, when they recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and America was supposed to build a new embassy in Jerusalem. But nothing was done, and they have on the table every 6 months a resolution to be signed to postpone the building and the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. And the world jury is silent. We're talking since 1994. We are talking about 20 years ago. I think that the world jury should understand their lack of action, should understand that they are not standing for Jerusalem at every day. They are doing their best. They are rallying, blah, 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 every time it's happening. But the truth, they never come to terms with the fact that there is not one embassy in Israel that, you know, from a different country. I think Micronesia is the only one who's there, which, you know, is the sweetheart of the country. But it's Micronesia.
And they vote with Israel every time, by the way, every time in the UN.
Yes. We love Micronesia. We love her from every inch of her being because she's really
awesome. And
there's
only a few inches is the problem.
But it doesn't matter. She has the guts. You know, sometimes the courage means more than anything. And what I would call today on World Jury, rise up the flag of, you know, of the Jewish temple. Rise up the flag of the Jewish heart is the Temple Mount. And Jerusalem, as a fact, cannot be given on to any other entity, because we are custodian by God's decree, and we have the Bible to show for, which is preserved for thousands of years, making it the most relevant book in the world history, and nobody's reading it. What's wrong with anybody who thinks that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, that the people of God, chosen people, that he gave us, you know, this duty, you know, not privilege really for many say, because our history doesn't show, but the privilege before God to be his messengers and servants. Now, the world needs to come to play now. They cannot stand aside, and the world Jewry work. Every time they've been persecuted, it's because they were trying to duck their own responsibility. And I don't connect anything that happened back to lack of action, but we know all for a fact that if you don't do nothing, something will happen. So it's happening on the wrong side. I would tell me, talk to me.
I think a couple of things, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong. When Netanyahu was reelected fairly recently, I think especially in the last war, that I think everybody was closer together than I'd ever seen world Jewry, because I think everybody believed he was really going to finally do the right thing.
We're going to do the right thing.
The right thing to take care of the terrorists, to take care of the Nasrallahs, to take care of the Hamas, and show them that, you know, we're not going to sit still, and you can't just kill a Jew without
Ellen, let's go to a break now.
I'm sorry, I feel, you know, and this is going to sound very horrible because I'm a mother, but I think that when you tell your children to kill other people, to begin a war, not because of a military action, but because your radio and your television and your songs that you're singing in the car tell you to kill Jews, you have a real problem, and we have only very small windows to take care of such things. And I think...
Well, I don't know about... Hold on a second, Ellen. Let's go to a break right now. We'll try to get Michael Gano, that was on the event today in Tel Aviv when the guy was stabbed, and I really want to speak to him. Maybe he joined together with you. So let's go to a break, listen to some music, and let's try to connect with Michael, okay?
Fabulous.
All right, and we are back. Guys, this is a war room, because whatever it is, today that happens, it's just the energy and the incredible importance of what's happening on the ground. And, you know, I believe in God, and I know that all is for a reason. We salute Ellen because we couldn't keep all the player together. And Michael is going to be on with us on a different show. Even though that he'd been active and working hard to cover the news from Israel and to give it to his project, Hershey for Heroes. Exceptional guy, exceptional spirit, and a wonderful human being that take his time and livelihood to Israel to support, to love, and to shake a hand to every soldier he meets. There are people who decide that when they see a soldier of Israel, they are the enemy. And there are people who understand that they preserve God's world. And in Israel is is the task. In Israel, you have to do that. I know that it's not easy to talk about conflict. Conflicts are the faction of, I don't know if I can say that. Conflicts are the result of misguided people and the shortcoming of leadership. Conflicts are to be solved. Anybody who thinks that we can solve it with this mighty hand or mighty military got something else coming. Because if there is anything we can say at this day is that God is in play. God is showing up for us, and every time we undermine his ability to be a part of our world, we actually lose because he's the winner. After all, he's going to win every time again. And for some reason, he decided to leave a small amount of Jewish people in the world to light the nations with wisdom, with kindness, with charity, with helping kids. That's what Jewish people do. That's our tradition. And anybody who thinks that Jewish people are about money, they have to come and see that Israel is not about money. It's about innovation. We're the people of the book, the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Old Testament. Of course, I know that the Christians have a New Testament, and they respect that, and we respect them very much, and we love them. And we understand that they are our brother for real. And there are some brothers who decide to disengage, like the Muslim did, because they are a brother too. So I don't know why they cannot give up this battle and why they think that they are going to win. But more they get acting, they act up, more we know they're losing. So we don't want you guys to lose, you Muslims or you Arab. We just want you to be and let us be. We are not here to fight, defeat, destroy, conquer, or anything else. We are not an empire. We are not seeking to be one, and we don't have a clue why you think that, you know, we don't have a right to exist. Especially in a place where biblical tradition or thousands of years of people living on the ground can tell you else. If you think about God and his mission, when he created the world, he gave us the chance to get together and understand each other. And sure enough, the world was corrupted. And he had to send the big, big flood and destroy the world, saving Noah and the animals. And what happens? He promised Noah never to do it again. He did so, and he said, Noah, I promise you, I will never destroy the world again. But guys, we are getting very, very, very upset when we don't realize that we have to cherish the world he gave us. This is not something that belongs to us. We came to this. It's like heredity. You know, he gave us a gift. And we sure destroyed the residents sometimes, and the Arabs that decided to riot because the Jewish want to pray, God forbid. If they pray, he might answer. What do you think? God doesn't answer us? God answers us. You think that we didn't practice prayer for so many years just to, you know, to come into empty-handed? Thank you, guys, understand that it's not happening. We are praying hard, and we are not going to stop praying to God. And if you think by stopping us praying, you can take control over the world, Well, I don't think that it's in the cards. It doesn't mean, I don't know, maybe in different age and time, they took over Jerusalem, destroy, and sent everybody away. Not, there is no, you know, all the story and the vision or the prophets stated that the return of Israel is going to be forever. And the churn of the temple is going to be forever. And the purposes of the temple is to host all mankind. Now let me ask you a question. Would you choose somebody who doesn't accept the other to be the custodian to your place? Or you would choose somebody who accepts everybody and let everybody have the freedom? There is no question about who is doing that. We know that Israel respects every religion. We know Israel respects every Muslim, mosque, etc. And the Temple Mount is not theirs. It's never been theirs. They even have in the Quran. I have a specialist, a person who read, has testified that they're supposed to keep it safe until we came back. It's written in their book. But no, it's not about faith. You know what? It's not even the faith thing. Because the Muslims who have faith understand that. The other who call them says, let's invent the caliphate. You know what? There are a lot of groups that promote something. They promote whatever we don't want to have. So I don't think they're going to take control of the world by might. They think that they are going to destroy the rest of the world and get on top of it. Or maybe Iran will have the nuclear weapon and can do the trick. I don't think so. I don't think so. I believe that they will come to their senses. Let's go to a break right now and let's think what can we do to help. All right? And my best song ever, Missing You Like the Desert Missed the Rain. What a beautiful song. Song that represents how much we crave when we miss somebody. And we miss some peace and harmony. We miss some love and kindness. We miss some good movies, for God's sake. We miss people who just say hello in the road, you know, and say, hi, how are you doing? What's wrong with everybody these days? Money is not everything. And you know what? We should have learned this lesson. This crisis, the world crisis, the economical global crisis, just show us precisely that money is nothing. What you're left with is your love for your family, environment, and animals, and the trees and the flowers and all the beauty that you surrounded us, the rivers, the seagulls. My goodness, there is such a great world out there, and we are fussing over an emission, for God's sake. I wonder what's wrong with everybody. What can't they understand? I think that it's going to be over soon, as far as that this phase of craziness is going to be over soon. Because mathematics is not an opinion, as they taught me in Italy. It's always a fact. The facts are that the Western world is not going to stand for any caliphate because they like their own deal, their own religion. They're not going to dismantle their religion. And the caliphate themselves have to think about a nice desert to find and make open up a shop there. Because really, let's say, after they got what they got, what are they going to do with it? Destroy it? Because they only do, you know, weapon, ammunition, and hurting people. So they're going to destroy it completely. That's the gift they want to give God. let's take control over the world and make it what? No. The Jews don't want to take over the world. They're just going to help you make it better. Remember that advertising? The incredible advertising say, we are not inventing this world. We'll just help to make it better. And that's our motto. And if they think that they can stop people in the middle of the street and become a hero, oh, God, you guys are really funny, because hero is not made from that. You know, people who, do that are not heroes in any format, even in their calendar, in their history calendar. So I think that we need to take a grip, have a deep breath, and say, okay, my brothers and sisters, it's time to call it quits. It's over. It's done. Israeli are now awakened. And you know what they did? They united even the left, wing, the ones that supported, complain, and try to destroy Israel's government again and again because it's too right-wing. They even pissed because they know it ain't right. When you know it ain't right, it means that you're going to stay on the right side. And right now they unite the people, and they'll unite them as we do always in time of the challenge, and make it better. And you know how it's going to be better? It's going to be better if you just give it up and not fight anymore. Come to accord. But you have to show us that you are goodwill people. The Israeli Arabs today on the radio were asking, why can we talk? Why? Yeah, we want you to know that the Arab Israelis are friends. They didn't do, nothing to harm anybody. But when they host in their house, when they give them work, when they let them, the people that are not legal, come into the nation, and they come in to destroy whatever theirs. And I know that you have a good life in Israel, and nobody in the world even contemplate a Palestinian state. Only Israel recognized them in the beginning of all. So if the world is going to vote for you, good luck. Let's see what they're going to do for you after. I remember the vote in the United Nations for Israel. The next day there was all attack from all over the borders, from all sides. How many people came to help? Yeah, they came, but few. We survived. God was with us. People come to help. But it wasn't like massive. And right now, today, Israel is in the same condition as always. We are alone talking to people in the United Nations. We have no vote there. They all now, even Jordan came to play. Wow. Jordan is acting up. Good luck. I remember not long ago we helped them, get what they need to save the kingdom and keep it intact. But, of course, they have a short memory. And the friendship that Prime Minister Rabin had with the father, King Hussein, was not memorable enough, I guess, to them. I remember that King Hussein, God bless his soul, said to, the people, Rabin was my best friend. Rabin was a good friend. Israelis are great friends. Whoever have Israeli friends in the world know what Israeli friendship is. Cool, wonderful. Now, every time they have the issue with money, you know why? Because we work so hard. If we get anything anywhere, it's because we put our heart and soul into it, and we work hard and hard. And we are pretty fair and square. We study hard to get some Nobel Prizes, not for nothing, to make the world better. We try to invent stuff. We try to And I'm not going to, you know, preach about Israeli wonder, because we all know the chutzpah of Israeli. But, you know, if you go in the street and somebody jump you, the next time somebody gets close to ask something, you get jumpy. So please do not complain about what we actually are doing. And, you know, in Israel today, and I say today with honor, I'm an Israeli. I'm Israeli all over, and I want to be there like that, and I want to stay there. And I know that the courage will be taken soon by the people of Israel to stop all assault, to stop all anything that will be creating this kind of mess. We are going to win this war, if it's a war, if they let it become a war. I think it's going to be over soon, because nobody wants it. We have plans. Right now, how much the world has donated to the Palestinian Gaza Strip? $5 billion. Do you know how much building we can build? How much tourist attraction they can build? Do you know how wonderful they can have it if they just give it a chance, building tourism, working, sharing the Singapore of the world, they say. Well, I don't know if they're going to become that, you know, because to be like that, you need a lot of education. You need to change your book, first of all. And if there is anything they need to do, they need to go back to square one and to redesign the route of, you know, travel, as they said. Change the route, come to play, be a brother, be a man, and show us what you got. Because I know on the other side of the moon, when I met them all the time, they were wonderful. So the Israeli needs to see that part. I think that we are running out of time, and tomorrow is a special day for me. It's my birthday. But it's more special is that I have a son that celebrates the same birthday as I, God's given gift. And I wish him happy birthday, Ethan. My love, my wonder, my hero. I hope that you will have to live through a relaxing life, a wonder life of wonder and creativity. And you can create and learn stuff that nobody learned before, and maybe help the world become a better one from this scientific part that you love so much. Let's go put some music on, and then I'll wrap it up. And we are back with a little more to go before we salute you for the week. We had an incredible week ahead of us. A week of challenges and wonder, a week that can create a wonderful start to reassuming goodwill gestures. I don't know what it will take to relax the spirit, the Israeli spirit these days, but calmness definitely will do. Call all your dogs back. Call all your people of arms. Go back to their hole and disappear from this hurt if you want, but stay away from my people. Stay away from the people of Israel, and stay away from the people of God that wants to do his God's duty, given duty, order in this world. And, you know, to all our Christian friends, we want a big hug, a wonderful blessing going your way, which you come back and understood how much love there is for God's people and how much love we can give you all. It's not easy to be in this world today. It's not being easy to be a child or adult. It's not easy. But what the heck? It's life. Make it great. Make it wonderful. Make it happen. Come to the table, ask us, what can we do? Why don't you ask Israel, how can we build something? How can we develop? How can we create a machine or anything? come to America, ask her to open school, ask her to teach you, send her all your love too, so she can teach you what democracy is all about. You know, Lady Liberty is not for nothing. Lady Liberty lives and survives, and with all the challenges in the world, she is still the leader of the free world. So I would call upon all of you guys, and you know, it's a special day for me tomorrow. It's going to be a special week for everybody next week, because I say so. No, because we can make it so. It's going to be wonderful if we join forces. And please don't be a stranger. This is BBS Radio. This is Orly Benny Davis on The Impossible Truth. And I salute you, and I love you, and I bless you. And I hope to talk to you quietly next week with all the glitches fixed and all the kindness of the wonderful studios in California that can assist us in this incredible, incredible show. God bless you all, and talk to you next week. This is Orly Benny Davis, Stand 4. We're closing down. Thank you.